Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. It is wonderful that we can all be gathered together today. It is wonderful that we have the opportunity to hear God's word, and it is wonderful that we have the opportunity to praise his name. Now we have just a couple of announcements as we begin today. Church cleanup day is the 23rd, which, if my math is correct, is next Saturday. This coming Saturday is church cleanup day at 8 a.m. For the church grounds. A reminder, if anyone has decorations in the cemetery that they would like to keep, remove them before Saturday. Lenten services will continue on Wednesday, and that will be our final Wednesday night Lenten service. After that, there will be Palm Sunday, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday. Also a reminder that next Sunday, as well as being Palm Sunday, is also Confirmation Sunday, as we celebrate the confirmation of Jack and Isaac. So continue to be in prayer for those two as they prepare for confirmation. Quarterly voters meeting, April 21st, following the church service. Parish Ed is meeting right after church today, right here over by the piano. And VBS is the first week of July. I will have more details on that as we get closer. Are there any announcements that I am missing today? If not, then we open this service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me now? Almighty God, we ask that you would be merciful and give us your grace today. We ask that you would reveal your word to us, that you would open our hearts, and that we would respond in kind. Lord, in your mercy, bless us today. Amen. Our call to worship today is Psalm 119, verses 9 to 16. Go ahead and remain seated as we read this responsively. And before we do that, I want to speak a little bit to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in all of Scripture. And if you are curious in your Bible, the headings for each portion of the psalm is how you would say and pronounce the Greek letter associated with that portion. So if you want to learn your Greek alphabet, that's how you can do it. Just a little fun fact. All right, Psalm 119, beginning at verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Blessed are you, O Lord, teaching your statutes.
With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth.
In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches.
I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways.
I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word.
Amen. Our opening hymn is number 566, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Would you please stand for our opening hymn today? You may be seated. Our order of service will now continue on page 2 of our ambassador hymnal. Would you now bow before the Lord with me as we confess our sin? Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy and ask you for Christ's sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From Isaiah, "Hear then, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." It is because of promises like this from the Word of God, indeed from the mouth of God Himself, that I declare to you today that your sins are forgiven. Amen. At this time, I will invite you to stand as you are able, as you have the privilege to hear the word of our living God.
Morning. The Old Testament lesson is from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is my covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, for the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." The epistle lesson is from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. "For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, You are my son today, I have begotten you. So as he says also in another place, You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who is also able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he had learned obedience through what he had suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek." Here ends the reading.
And our gospel lesson for today comes from Mark chapter 10, verses 32 to 45. "And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And talking with the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to them, saying, See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, And they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days he will rise. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, We are able. And Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those to whom it has been prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called to them and said, You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Here ends the reading of God's Word. Now that as confessed with the Church of all times and in all places our holy Christian faith, this morning using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Seated. At this time, I will call forth our ushers to receive our morning offering. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank and praise you for this day that you've given to us, this opportunity that we have to come before you and ask on behalf of those who cannot ask themselves. Lord, we ask that you would be merciful and that you would give your grace to those who are hurting. We ask that you would be loving and kind to those who are alone. We ask that you would be loving and comforting to those who are most in need. Lord, we think this week of those who are in our bulletin, and we pray that you would be merciful to them. For our shut-ins, Juanita, Diane, Dwayne, Joanne, and Delbert, allow them to be able to be healed of their infirmities and allow them to be comforted by your word in this time of being stuck in. For those who are in need of healing, we pray for Gordon, Linda, Bob, Deanna, Tim, Norm, DJ, Grayson, Danielle, Robert, Francis, Terry, Casey, Michael, and Ty. Lord, give them your healing hand upon their lives and allow them to have faith in you, knowing that even if it's not your will that they be healed, that you keep them in the palm of your hand in your comfort and mercy forevermore. Lord, for the children of this congregation, we ask that you would be blessing them, including Willa, Charlie, Claire, Eloise, Gwen, Rowan, Lane, Waylon, Kennedy, Elena, Madeline, and Joanna. Lord, allow them to grow in grace and knowledge of you. Allow them to be a light in this darkened world that we live in. Lord, be with the men on the council, including Keith, Steve, Dane, Stuart, and Doug. Lord, allow them to know and understand that their role in this congregation is one of utmost importance, and allow us to respect and love them for the work that they do for the congregation. Bless them as they continue the work of maintaining this congregation. Lord, we pray for our nation and government, for world leaders and all those who are in authority, that you would be allowing them to lead with honor, that you would be allowing them to point others to you, that you would be allowing them to be a light in the darkness. Lord, for those in the military and their families, we ask that you would give comfort and peace in an unknown time, and that you would be allowing them to have safety and confidence in you. Lord, for these and all other requests, we trust in your mercy. Lord, bless us this day. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, let us sing hymn number 63, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Oh.
Good morning again. One clerical thing before we begin our sermon today. Jesus is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, is how we pronounce that word. That is often a confusing thing that I felt actually the need to re-research and explain as I was preparing for today. Melchizedek is a priest found in the Old Testament back in the book of Genesis. He was a priest of God that no one knows his origin. No one knows what happened to him since. But he was the one man authorized to bless Abraham. And as such, Jesus Christ being after the order of Melchizedek, that puts him high above any and all patriarchs, any and all other people within the Old Testament. And Jesus Christ being after the order of Melchizedek also then allows him to be a high priest not under the same pitfalls as the Levitical high priests, those who are from the house of Levi, but rather above and beyond them as their precursor and their ruler. Also, there's a lot of scriptural evidence that says Melchizedek was a precursor to, like, a picture of Jesus in the Old Testament. That being said, we're not here to talk about Hebrews today. The reason I brought that up is so that you understand the importance of Jesus Christ and that a little bit of what I found to be very difficult understanding back when I was first studying these things gets cleared up. Our sermon text today comes from Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34. You may remain seated as I read our Old Testament lesson once more. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Pray with me now. Almighty God, these are your words, and your word is truth. Sanctify us today in that truth. Convict us of sin in our lives where that is necessary. Comfort and encourage us with the promises of your gospel. In your name we pray. Amen. I've titled this message, A New/Old Promise. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 36. 31 through 34, my apologies. I read that number wrong. In Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34, God is speaking through the prophet Jeremiah to the people of Israel. The people of Israel are currently getting ready for the end of Israel as they know it. In chapter 39 of Jeremiah is when Jeremiah records the fall of Jerusalem and the carting away of all the people of Israel into Babylon. The people of Israel have been under war, famine, strife, pain and suffering almost constantly throughout Jeremiah's ministry. And as Jeremiah has been preaching and proclaiming God's word to them, they have been rejecting the word of God from Jeremiah because they were comfortable in their own sin and iniquity. And so Jeremiah, as he's proclaiming hope in this hopeless time, peace in the strife, comfort in the pain. He tells them this: the days are coming when there will be a new covenant made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the old covenant that I made with their fathers, my covenant that they broke, declares the Lord. This old covenant that Israel was under was the covenant made by God to the people of Israel back in Exodus chapter 20. And as we go back to Exodus chapter 20, we see that God gives them this covenant. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make of yourselves a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or on earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. I think you know the rest of it. The old covenant was based on the foundation of the Ten Commandments. The old covenant was based on the foundation of God giving the people of Israel, whom he had just led out of Egypt, the people of Israel for whom God had defeated all of the armies of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the people of Israel on whose behalf God had given water and food in the wilderness. This covenant that he gave them was simple. I will be your God. I will fight for you. I will win battles for you. You will be a great and prosperous people if you obey the word that I lay out to you today. And God held up his end of the bargain. In fact, most of the time, God held up their end of the bargain as well. There was not a single enemy that could stand against the people of God in the book of Exodus. At one point, God had the entire sun stand in its place for an entire day so that his people might win that battle. Right, and what's more than that, they were in fact prosperous. From the moment they left Egypt, they were able to prosper in whatever land they were in. They never went hungry. The soles of their shoes never ran out. Their clothes never tore. In fact, they were living a life, while it was difficult, in the best possible conditions they could possibly be in, living in the wilderness for 40 plus years. But the people of Israel had a problem with this covenant. They liked the benefit. They liked being this great and powerful people who no one could stand against. They liked having God in their back pocket. You know what they didn't like? They didn't like the other half of the covenant. They didn't like the whole, you must obey my words. They didn't like the idea of, you shall have no other gods before me. They really didn't like that idea. In fact, every chance they got, the people of Israel would go off and worship the gods of the communities they were in. They went into the land of Canaan and immediately worshipped Canaanite gods. They were in the land of Egypt worshipping the Egyptian gods. They were in the wilderness and they couldn't find any other gods to worship, so they worshipped a cow. Sometimes I can't help but laugh when Charlie says that. Okay. The people of Israel did not want to worship God as their sole and only God. They wanted to hedge their bets. Well, what if you can't do this? I'm sure this God could do it. And God's command to them was firm, final, and serious. There will be no other gods. You shall worship God and God alone. You shall be a people of God, the one true God. And you guys know the history just a little bit, I'm sure of it. What happens when the people of Israel abandoned God for another God? There was judgment. God sent plagues, snakes, famine in the wilderness. And when they had their own land, God sent enemy armies against them to cut them down to size just a little bit. In the history of Old Testament Israel, the reality of the situation is that they were under siege and war more often than they were not. And each and every time that happened, it was a judgment of God for their wicked ways, for their idolatry, for their unbelief, for their shame. They had no desire to keep the covenant that God had given them. The covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. Though the Lord was giving them everything they ever could have wanted or needed, yet they were discontent at the fact that they couldn't go and whore after other gods. And to that end, their judgment was swift and sure, culminating in the events of Isaiah and Jeremiah, when first the northern kingdom of Israel was taken out by Assyria, and then in Jeremiah 39, the southern kingdom of Judah was taken out by Babylon and sent into exile for 70 years. And in the midst of this judgment of God, in the midst of the people of God choosing not to, in fact, worship God, God gives them a new old promise. That they were going to be taken back to the promise given to Adam and Eve back in Genesis chapter 3. God speaking to Satan says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That this old promise of God found in Genesis 3:15 was a promise that it wasn't Adam and Eve who would save themselves from their own sin and uncleanliness. That it wasn't Adam and Eve who would restore the creation that they destroyed by eating of that forbidden fruit. That in fact, God would send a son, an offspring, in order to destroy the head of Satan, the serpent. That in fact, this new covenant that he promised to the people of Israel in Jeremiah 31 is the same way that God has been operating even under the Mosaic covenant. That even when Israel was wicked and unfaithful to God, even in the midst of their judgment, God was preserving them. God was protecting them. There was never a time in the Old Testament where the people of Israel did not exist, and that was only because of the grace of God working for them. That in fact, he was of his own power, of his own accord, preserving the people of God through every judgment, through every trial, through every catastrophe. God was preserving his people. This new covenant in which God is promising to the people of Israel is in fact the covenant of his gospel, where God says, for you, I will do this. It is no longer, in fact, a covenant at all. For there is no requirements placed upon the people of God here. No, in fact, this new covenant that he gives them is simply him declaring to them that in fact, I will save you. I will make you my people. You will know God because I will make it so. And as we see, throughout the course of history, God makes good on that promise of a new covenant. That in fact, God came in the flesh to walk among the people. That people could come up and see God and know God face to face. That they were able to come forward and receive from God his many gifts that he had for them. That each person who was healed, each dead who was raised, was God himself fulfilling his promises that he would allow the world to know who God is. That when Jesus Christ suffered and died and rose again, he fulfilled that promise. I will be their God, and they will be my people. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. This word law here is a little bit ambiguous. This word law here encompasses the entire word of God. So God is saying here, that through his promise, through his work, he would put the word of God into your hearts. That you would know God and that you would be his people. And you know what? He did it. That Jesus suffered and died to make you right with God. That he rose again to declare victory over sin, death, and hell. And that he gave to you the Holy Spirit of God, that the Word of God may live forever within your heart. That you would know the words and the precepts of God, that you would know those things he calls for you to be and to live as. You, by the grace of this new old promise of God, are called a saint, a holy person before God. Because of this new old promise of God, you have no need to worry about if you've been good enough to please God. That if you've done enough good things to get to heaven. Because the reality of the situation is that God has done that work for you. You are saved and forgiven. You are God's chosen people. And this new old promise of God for you is the promise that God will be with you this day forth and forevermore. Forgiving, healing, loving, and keeping. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. And may His peace be with you always. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 78, The Old Rugged Cross. As you are able, I'll invite you to stand as we sing The Old Rugged Cross.
Thank you.
Would you now pray with me the prayer that our Lord has taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now let us sing hymn number 560, Children of the Heavenly Father. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.